A record 135 illegal Latino migrants have died so far this year crossing the brutal desert from Sonora, Mexico, into Arizona. People cross that dry, broiling terrain to avoid increased U.S. security at traditional crossing points. Most migrants pay a guide or coyote, but that's no guarantee of a safe arrival. NPR's Jerry Hatton concludes his three-part series on the trail of Latino migration.
In a tiny clothing store on the main plaza of Altar, Mexico, a ragged-looking farmer from Oaxaca is shopping for pants. His waist is 32, but he buys a pair measuring 36. That's so they'll slide easily over the dirty jeans he's wearing now. Doubling up will help him stay warm at night and protect him from scorpion stings, he says. The farmer, who won't give his name, says he's crossing into the U.S. and expects to sleep in the desert for the next few nights.
I'm going to Carolina. It's my first time crossing. Let's see how our luck holds up. It's a desperate situation. There's no work at home. Nothing. People are suffering. We have no money.
Altar is little more than a small patch of cement in the middle of the vast Sonora Desert. It's full of Latino migrants perusing its tightly bunched shops for hats, water bottles, and backpacks. Others hang around in the shade of the few trees that ring the town's open central plaza. The town is a sort of open market where migrants and coyotes meet to strike deals. Buses drop off new arrivals day and night. Just as quickly, vans depart for the U.S. border, an hour north, packed full of migrants aiming to cross. They are dropped off in tiny frontier towns like Naco. Migrants stream each day through Naco, a dusty no-man's land that caters almost exclusively to the transients. Just 4,000 people live here, yet there are 34 registered guest houses. On the border, half-painted, single-story houses crowd up against the U.S.-built, 16-foot-high corrugated metal fence designed to keep migrants out. There's so much foot traffic here that one homeowner has painted, "Please do not urinate," in large letters on the side of his house. The flow of migrants represents a lot of money for the coyotes who smuggle them across. Late one night at the fence, a coyote tracks the headlights of a U.S. Border Patrol Jeep slowly passing by on the far side. When its engine has faded away, the coyote rushes from a nearby house and throws a tall ladder against the fence. Two young migrants, a man and woman, follow quickly behind the coyote. They climb up the ladder and lower themselves down the U.S. side by a knotted rope. Balancing on the top of the fence, the coyote indicates which way to run. He jumps back down on the Mexican side, grabs his ladder, and is gone. The whole operation takes 30 seconds. Nearby, another coyote, who refuses to give his name, says his colleague likely just earned $100. This skinny teenager with moppy hair says he charges more, but offers a more complete service.
1 kilometer. No, la casa, llegando, nos metemos a la casa de volar. Pum, pum, y órale.
I follow them for 1 kilometer in the U.S., he says. They hide in a safe house over there. It's a little far, but we get there in a couple of minutes. If they catch me, the Americans could toss me in jail or deport me, the jerks. This coyote is a small player in the underworld of human smuggling. He says authorities should chase the big fish, the organized rings that operate from within the U.S. Those gangs will charge migrants some $6,000 for passage all the way from Central America. The majority of migrants can only afford a local guide for this final stretch. Others cross alone, counting on their luck and wits to carry them across the desert of southern Arizona. Thousands get lost in the 89,000 square miles of arid valleys and mountains south of Tucson. Border Patrol rescue agent Mario Macundes' job is to find them. On a broiling hot afternoon, Macundes picks his way through the thorny mesquite trees and prickly pear cactus, looking for migrants who need help.
Usually the surface will be another 30, 40 degrees higher. So let's say it's 110 out on the ambient air. It's 140, 150 degrees on the ground. That's why when we find some of the bodies, we find them blistered all up. I mean, even if they're dead or not, I mean, they've just been laying there on hot rocks for so long.
Macundes says the smugglers downplay the dangers of the trip, causing migrants to cross ill-prepared.
They'll promise the groups, you're only going to walk 4 to 6 hours, so you only need to bring 1 or 2 gallons of water. 4 to 6 hours into the desert, you know, the guys are like, wait a minute, you told me you're going to walk 4 to 6 hours. No, you know what? See that hill? It's just on the other side of that hill. So more likely, they're going to stick with the coyote.
But if you tire and can't keep up, your coyote is likely to abandon you. At midday, five teenagers from Chiapas, Mexico, stumble out of the Arizona desert onto a small road. They're covered in dust, their lips are parched and swollen, and they're happy to see the Border Patrol.
We've been lost out there for 3 days already. We need to eat and drink something. Our guide ditched us. We were in the middle of the desert. He just disappeared.
The young man says the coyote was supposed to deliver them to a van that would take them to Phoenix, where his brothers live. Border Patrol agents load the teens into their van for deportation. The next morning, another group of migrants does reach its clandestine van, but they never make it to their destination, Tucson. On the highway just east of the city, an old Chevy van crammed with 23 undocumented Mexicans blows a tire. It swerves and flips several times, tossing its passengers over a 100-yard stretch of desert. Two men are dead. 15 more adults and children lay injured among the cactus, some gravely. The rest have managed to drag themselves off into the desert, bent on avoiding U.S. authorities. One survivor, a woman from Veracruz, stands in shock, her face covered in blood. She says the passengers in the van did not know one another or who was moving them.
I only know that dead man's name was Raimundo. Thank God, I'm alive. I don't know how. God makes miracles all the time.
An hour later, on this same highway, a second van rolls over carrying 11 undocumented Mexicans. Migrants know they're taking enormous risks to reach the U.S., but the lure of a better life, free of poverty, drives them from home. So far this year, the U.S. has deported some 750,000 undocumented Latinos. Measuring just how many make it in is impossible, but officials acknowledge they catch just a fraction of those who try. In the Mexican desert border town of Sasabe, several groups of migrants pass an afternoon watching locals singing and drinking on the sidewalk. But with night's fall, they pick up their water bottles and begin walking down a dirt trail to the border less than a mile away. In the fading light, a group of 11 campesinos from southern Oaxaca pause at a small candlelit shrine to the Virgin of Guadalupe, Mexico's beloved protector, and they pray. We are asking for help, says one man, to cross into the United States. But please don't follow us. There are thieves down this road, he says. We're only crossing because we have to. Jerry Haddon, NPR News.
There are photographs of the border region at npr.org.